Our Father in heaven, the great Almighty God, the one who has created all things, the one who has reached out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, we worship you. We are so glad that we can be gathered today in your very presence. We thank you for enabling each one of us to be here. We thank you that in spite of the typhoon, the rains, the floods, you have enabled each one of us to arrive here safely. We pray that you be pleased to be in our midst, that you have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the scriptures, to grant us understanding of what is important in your heart, how you want us to live our lives, and how we can be true and faithful to you. We commit this time into your hands, and we pray that our hearts may be warmed as we hearken to what you revealed in the scriptures and what you have to say to each one of us. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad I'm able to be with all of you here today for the 19th Pastoral Care Conference, and I'll begin with some introductory remarks. The conference theme, as all of you are aware, is God's Workmen in these days of harvest. And the theme of my messages is the equipping and readiness of God's workmen. And by God's workmen, I'm referring to all believers. And especially those with spiritual responsibilities in preaching, teaching, shepherding the flock, and leadership responsibilities. From what I can understand, this is also the goal and the objective of these annual pastoral care conferences organized by CGM. There will be much content in my messages, much more than my usual messages, about 1 hour each message. And it would require much concentration for you to follow the messages well. I'm trying to cover quite a lot with all of you because I know you have set aside precious time. You have made much effort to come here from different parts of the Philippines, and I want to try to cover with you as much as is feasible, looking to the Lord for what would be helpful, not just for our time together during this conference, but for long term. And so, in order to help you to follow the content of the messages more fully, I've prepared detailed notes, so it's easier for you to follow and also for further study. For your awareness, all these years in my preaching, I have never given up notes. So this is the first time, and I believe it can be helpful for long term. The other is, if you look at the schedule, you'll notice that there'll be question and answer for myself on Thursday morning. And you'll be helpful if you can jot down whatever questions that you may have, and even more so if they are directly related to the four major areas I'll be covering with you during this conference. Now, of course, these four major areas are very broad, and it covers every aspect of the Christian faith. So you can submit the questions to me directly or to whatever provision the CGM may have made available, or to the staff, or if they have a box where you can put in, whatever it may be. But try to do that before Thursday morning so that I can have a look and try to answer as many questions as is feasible within the limited time that we have. I'll be using the New American Standard Bible, and that's because over the years I found this translation to be a very good translation. I'll be referring to many Bible passages, and the Bible text will be projected on the screen. You have the Bible references in your notes, so it's good if you have your notes ready so that it can help you to follow, and at the same time, if you want to make any extra notes, you can do that. In John chapter 4, verse 35, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. It's quite clear in the context. The Lord Jesus is not talking about physical harvest. He's talking about spiritual harvest. That is, in relation to the Lord's work. This becomes clear if you look at the preceding verse 34. The Lord Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." So His work refers to the work God the Father had entrusted to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some very brief comments on the words of the Lord Jesus here. He says, "My food," which refers to spiritual nourishment. He says, "My food is to do the will of Him." So notice the will of God the Father, accomplishing the work of God. It's not just doing what people expect of you, what you are inclined to, what you think will be a good idea. We must concentrate on the will of God. The broad, big picture as well as specific aspects, we need to know the Lord's guidance and concentrate on the Lord's will. And just as the Lord Jesus was sent by God the Father, so we also need to understand what the Lord desires of each one of us and then seek to serve Him faithfully. And the Lord Jesus is very concerned to accomplish the work God the Father had entrusted to Him. And likewise, that is what we must concentrate upon. So the Lord Jesus says the fields are white for harvest. And that has been so since the days of Christ on earth, even up to our generation. In our generation, we can truly rejoice that large numbers have been turning to the Lord. In Africa, in South America, in Asia, millions are turning to the Lord in China, in India. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31, Paul told the Athenians, "God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." You notice, I have to go fast. Normally, I will spend more time to comment, but I will now just draw the essence of various of these verses I'm referring to. Here, the Lord Jesus, or rather, Paul, in speaking these words to the Athenians, communicates to us that now is the time to preach the gospel. God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent. For all people. But how is God declaring? One major means is by His people. The preaching of the gospel. Because Christ has already come. And He has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead. And also there will be the day of judgment. All this comes through in verse 31. Peter told Cornelius and those who were gathered with Cornelius to hear Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him." So God wants all from every nation to come to Him. God desires, or rather, God does not want any to perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation in Christ. However, to fulfill our role well as God's workmen, it is needful for us to appreciate the task entrusted by the Lord and how He wants the task accomplished. This is a very important and big subject. I can now only make very brief comments. Often we are referred to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, often referred to as the Great Commission. Verse 19, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, in that context He was actually addressing the apostles. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." I want to highlight a few aspects. Go therefore and make disciples. And then He says, teaching them to observe all. So it's quite clear here, the Lord Jesus is not merely talking about conversion. Conversion is needful. Without conversion, you cannot have disciples. You cannot go on to teach them to all that God wants to communicate to us. And it is also clear in this context that the task is not just entrusted to individuals, it's to the whole church. It's only the whole church that can fulfill this task, to reach out to all the nations and then to teach the believers to observe all that the Lord desires of us. These two verses, together with the rest of the New Testament, and it's always very important, not just to concentrate on isolated verses, passages, even if they are very important, but to try to understand what God is trying to communicate, even important verses, in the light of the total revelation of the Scriptures. Yes, the immediate context, the book itself, but most importantly, ultimately, when we say what God wants to speak to us on any issue, it is what God wants to communicate to us in the light of the whole Bible. Otherwise, you get into serious problems in interpretation, understanding of specific verses. So the fulfillment of what God has entrusted to us is clearly not merely conversion of non-believers. The goal is for all to turn to the Lord in true repentance and faith, and then to go on to grow unto maturity in Christ. And the Scriptures tells us that this takes place, and it's the Lord's desire that this takes place in the context of believers integrated into healthy church life, and then the proper working of each individual part, so that the whole body can be built up in love. You may say some of the context that you are in is very difficult for the body to function well. You must pray to God and seek to work in that direction. It is very important to God. The personal response, the other is the expression of the life of the body. And this includes continuing addition of new ones who are converted, they are integrated into the body of Christ. By the way, spiritually, the moment someone is converted, born again, he's baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So this takes place spiritually. There's one whole body, the universal church. But then God also wants the expression of body life at a local level. The function at the local level is very important to study the Scriptures, how God wants church life to function, and then seek to work in that direction. So God's desire is not just isolated believers seeking to walk with Him and serve Him, no matter how hard you may try. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. At the heart of the fulfillment of the task entrusted is the healthy expression of body life and the growth of the body in submission to Christ. Not up to them to decide how best they want to function, what they want to do, what they want to concentrate upon. It must be in submission to Christ. And this must become a reality, not just you pay lip service to these concepts. Because Christ is the head of the body, the church. So that the whole church can be built up in love according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And built up in love in two dimensions. First, at the local level, and then the universal church. And it's only when the local as dimension can function well, it then will contribute significantly to the health of the universal church. So the goal in the Scriptures is that every man becomes mature in Christ, not just born again. We see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 to 29, how Paul and his co-workers sought to fulfill the task entrusted by the Lord. Paul wrote, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power that works within me. So we proclaim him, that is proclamation of Christ. But he didn't stop with that. He says he goes on to admonish every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. So it's not just for some special Christians to become very spiritual and mature. God's intention is for every believer to grow unto maturity in Christ. And Paul says, for this purpose, he says, I labor. But notice, it's not his own striving. He says, I labor according to his power, God's power, which mightily works within me. But Paul had to labor, but he labors in the power of God. So Paul tells us, grow unto maturity in Christ. He says this takes place meaningfully according to the will of God in the context of the healthy expression of body life or church life. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, I can only go through this very quickly with some brief comments. Verse 11, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. These are God's gifts to the church. In that context, the he actually refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, having risen. Now, he gives gifts of people to the church. And for what purpose? It's for the equipping of the saints. So this is a ministry of, in the context of believers, not conversion, but believers, saints, already believers. For equipping the saints for what purpose? For the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ. So the gifts of people, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, is that the saints can be properly equipped. God wants every believer to grow into maturity and to serve him well. That's where he puts it in verse 13, until we all, every believer, attain to the unity of the faith, oneness, very important, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, how much do we know Christ the Son, and move in the direction of a mature man, maturity in Christ, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is tremendous. There's tremendous potential in every believer because we are created image of God, and when you're a believer, God has placed us in Christ. And in Christ, we have tremendous potential. But sad to say, many of us realize very little of the potential that is feasible. But it is God's intention that all of us grow unto maturity in the context of body life, so that you will not be like children tossed to and fro, verse 14, and you can be led astray by doctrines, by trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. This may talk about men being crafty, but behind it all is actually the evil one. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Being truthful in love. Truth, love, critical. But all are to grow. So all to grow, and all to grow in all aspects. Every aspect, not just some. Some grow well in some aspects, but other aspects, poor. There are so many aspects. So for wholesome development, extremely important. Then the evil one cannot easily exploit us, take advantage of our lives, and also our lives will not give rise to a lot of problems at a personal level, as well as creating problems in God's work, in God's kingdom. And Paul says, grow up in all aspects. It's into him who is the head, even Christ. This growing up in all aspects is always takes place in Christ, true growth, and submitted to Christ the head, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. God desires the different parts to function together, each one having their own part. And for the whole body to work out well, just like a symphony, the music to play well, each one must fulfill his part as God desires, not trying to copy someone else or wanting someone else's role. God has a role for each one of us, even those that may appear insignificant. Each one is important for the whole body to function well. And then the proper working of each individual part. I hope you remember this. Very important in the life of the body, expression of body. The proper working of each individual part. And this will then cause the growth of the body. The whole body will be built up, building up of itself in love. The body built up in love can be appreciated from two angles. One is the growth of the members, individual members, in moral, spiritual stature. The other is there's also a spiritual dimension of body life. If you function well in church life, there's a spiritual reality of the whole body growing in spiritual beauty and power. But there's another dimension of the body being built up in love, and that is the addition of new ones. When the body is functioning well, that is the most powerful testimony, as well as the feasibility of reaching out. And not only that, those who are converted can then be brought into the body built up, and these new ones will join in and be and receive all the wholesome ministry from the rest of the body, and not only that, even the young ones will also be contributing. So that's how it ought to carry on. In this way, it can be sustained, and the body can continue to grow from strength to strength, manifesting the glory and the power of God. So it is crucial we fulfill the task entrusted to us and fulfill it well. Because when we fulfill it well, this will contribute significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom. That's what God is concerned about. All other things are going to disappear, perish. What will endure is God's kingdom. We are already in God's kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. We can contribute to God's kingdom. And how we participate, how we contribute, will have eternal significance because God's kingdom is eternal. So the fields are white for harvest. God is looking for those who are good workers. But the critical issue is the equipping and readiness of God's workmen. Are you ready? Are you properly equipped together with the brethren? The whole way you approach the outworking in your context, in your congregation, and the equipping and readiness of God's workmen is the theme of my messages. If God's workmen are properly equipped, as I will continue to substantiate, definitely God's work will be accomplished. Because God is the Almighty God. He wants His work to be accomplished. But the issue is, are we properly equipped? Or are we doing our own thing? Even our wanting to serve God, if it is according to our own wisdom, according to our own strength, we do not know what it's all about, we just do this, do that, thinking it will be very helpful. If we are not properly equipped, not only will we not be able to contribute effectively to the advancement of God's kingdom, we can actually pose a lot of problems in God's work. So Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, he says, I solemnly charge you. That means very important in the presence of God, of Christ, something very important he wants to say. And he went on to elaborate who is to judge the living and the dead and so on. All this is to emphasize. Paul says, I have something very important to tell you. Then the substance of what he wants to say is this. Preach. Preach the word. The word actually is the good news, the gospel. But sometimes people think of the gospel as very narrow. Christ died for our sins. You must repent, then you can be a child of God. No, the good news is actually what in times past was not fully revealed until the coming of Christ. And the good news is actually all that God intends for us in Christ and what He wants to accomplish in Christ and our part in it all. Preach the word. Be ready in season, our season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What I want to emphasize is be ready. It's very important. Be ready, then you can preach the word in season, out of season, effectively, in whatever context. Are we ready? So are we properly equipped and ready? Paul exhorted Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. He says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself example of those who believe. If you do not want others to look down on you, you must show yourself an example. Now, if you've already shown yourself an example by your life, that means the importance of our lives. Then if people misunderstand you, they malign you, that is okay. You can rejoice in God. Even the Lord Jesus, the perfect teacher, preacher, there are those who malign Him, and finally they crucified Him on the cross. But Paul wants to emphasize our part, our lives. And he says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of the Scripture, the exhortation, preaching. So, Scripture, very important. Preaching, teaching, exhortation. Then he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Develop to the full whatever God has given you and He wants you to develop. Then he went on to say, verse 15, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Not just once upon a time, you are struck by it, enthusiastic. He says, take pains. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. You must continue to make progress. And you must pay a lot of attention to these things, be absorbed in them. Then verse 16, pay close attention to yourself. If you want to serve God, you may be trying to care for many people. Reach out to them, care for them. But if you do not pay close attention to your own life, then you not only cannot serve God well, you may end up a disaster in your own life. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Your own life, very important, your teaching. How much do you understand and appreciate what God has communicated, what God wants to teach us through the scriptures? And then you can teach others effectively. So pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere. Even if you are growing well, it will not be easy. There will be spiritual opposition, and there will be those who misunderstand you. All kinds of difficulties will surface. You must persevere. But for you to persevere well, you must pay close attention to your life and your walk with the Lord. Paul then said, "For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." So if you do this well, then for yourself, it will be well with you as well as for those who hear you. So does it mean whether we fare well, we don't fare well, and so on? It just happens to be, no. You can ensure that you fare well. If you do all this, you can ensure that you will fare well as effectiveness of ministry. So how can God's workmen be adequately equipped? The scriptures fulfill a vital role, and this will be concentrated on this in the third message. Two verses all of you are very familiar with in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The scriptures is inspired. And the goal, very important part, very important goal is that God wants the man of God, every child of God, every man of God, to be adequate, equipped for every good work. The scriptures is meant for that. But do we really know the scriptures, absorb its truth, and not just know what people tell you about the scriptures, but what God actually wants to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures? We'll pay more attention to this subsequently. Then hear the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Paul says, be diligent. We need to be diligent. We cannot just sit under a coconut tree and hope that everything will turn out well. You must be diligent to present yourself approved to God. We want God's approval, but we must be diligent. And God does want to approve us, but we must be diligent so that we can present ourselves approved to God. And one major aspect that's important that we can gain God's approval, and what is that? Can be approved to God as a workman. You want to be a workman, approved of God, is that we must learn to accurately handle the word of truth. Truth, very important. The word, what God has revealed, but you must learn to handle it accurately. Again, here it's not just whether people tell you are doing fine, or you are very satisfied in what you are doing. Many people tell you, well done. No. What is most critical, what is really critical, is you have actually handle the word of God accurately. That is what God actually wants to communicate through the scriptures. Not just your own views and opinions or what people tell you, although you can learn from others. So to be ready and properly equipped, God's workman must concentrate on four key related foundational areas. And there will be the four messages, the first four messages I'm covering: God, truth, the scriptures, and Christ. And the content and substance of the four messages ought to be foundational. Foundational for our own lives, as well as the content and the substance of our ministry. And this is what I hope to impress upon you during this conference. These four foundational areas are for yourself. But if you learn them well, in your ministry, this must also be transmitted, that they become foundational for those you minister to, and what you seek to transmit to others. The primary concentration, longing, and motivation of our hearts. These four areas. And they must permeate, fill up, consume our lives. They must be most important to us. They must be the foundation on which we build everything else. If whatever we do doesn't flow forth from these four areas, it'll be in vain. The basis of our values, our perspective, our approach to life, and every aspect of our lives, not just in your ministry to people, every aspect of your life. So the four messages: first one, God, the foundational basis of our lives and ministry. Second, truth, understanding, absorbing truth, so that you become men of truth, manifesting and communicating truth. I will consider more fully with you what I mean by truth. in its rich biblical sense. And the third message on the scriptures, to understand, and then there must be the positive response. These two are critical. You need to understand accurately, and then there must be the positive response to what God wants to teach, communicate to us through the scriptures, and then you can become men of truth, you will become adequate, equipped for every good work. And the fourth message on Christ, who is God's primary provision for us. God makes many provisions for us. Christ is God's primary provision for us. You must learn to abide in Christ, He in us, then you can bear much fruit. So there are many Christians who would agree that these four areas, they ought to be the primary concentration of every believer and the primary content and substance of Christian ministry. Many Christians will agree to this. But from my observation, in my awareness, in reality, we often fail to pay adequate attention to these four areas in our own lives and our ministry. We are often more concerned, preoccupied with the outward appearance of things as indicators of whether things are going on well. Growth in numbers, how many have indicated they have become Christians, how many are attending the various meetings, how big is the congregation, is it growing, how fast the programs and the projects, how many, how successful, and how successful is measured again by outward appearance of things. How many are participating, how many say they are very good, they are benefiting, how big is the church building, how much financial resources are available. We pay a lot of attention to all these things. And also challenging believers to go to witness, to preach the gospel. The more indicate they are going, the more saying they are doing that, the better. And that means things are going on very well. But if the four key related areas are not going on well, it will significantly affect, adversely affect all other areas. In fact, all other areas, they cannot fare well. They cannot go on well if these four areas are not faring well, even if they appear to be going on well. Actually, outward appearance going on well, but internally, at the heart of it, spiritually bankrupt. So we cannot just pay attention to outward appearance of things, but we must concentrate on reality. What is really true in the kingdom of God? How God sees things. We concentrate on the four areas, we'll begin to learn how to identify with God and see things the way God sees. When the fair and other areas, they can only flow forth when these four foundational areas are faring well. And if God, truth, the scriptures and Christ, all these foundational areas, they become the foundational basis, the primary motivation of our lives, if this is true, then we have the assurance from the scriptures that God's blessings, as well as our personal well-being, fruitful ministry, they will be assured. You're not just maybe, even though it's not always obvious. And this is true for every child of God. Whatever context, it will be true for you. And especially for those of you with spiritual responsibilities, preaching, teaching, shepherding, feeding the flock. The responsibility is heavy. The spiritual pressures and attacks are greater for those with such responsibilities. The implications and consequences are more significant and far-reaching. This is the way to fulfill our part in our working of God's purposes and also the manifestation of God's glory. And these four areas have also been the content as well as the substance of my ministry all these years. They are reflected in the messages that I've posted on the website, godandtruth.com, as well as the three books I've made available. I saw a number of you have indicated you have them. They are for free distribution. Likewise, whatever is posted on the website, it can be freely downloaded for your personal use, as well as if you want to forward them to anyone whom you think can be helpful. And the three books are compilations of edited text messages. So the three books will form the substance of the fifth message: Understanding Job, the Two Kingdoms, and Men of Faith. I'll pause here. Or you can sing one hymn, you can stand up or stretch yourself, and then after that I'll continue with the first major area of God, the foundational basis of our lives and ministry, which will take about 1 hour. So, you want to sing a hymn?